Well, this time last year, we brought you our Election Express series leading up to the US election. Well, the first anniversary of Donald Trump's victory, and we've already had people taking me to task for the use of 1 year anniversary, which apparently is completely incorrect grammatically. So the first anniversary of Donald Trump's victory is soon approaching. So we've decided to bring you the voices of Trump supporters in the Midwest to find out how they feel 12 months down the track on some of the issues their president campaigned on. Our reporter, Danny Wood, an Australian, has been living in Liberty in Missouri. It's a small town near Kansas City for the last 6 years. Some of Trump's strongest support came from where Danny lives. Across more than 200 counties in Missouri and neighbouring Kansas, only six voted for Hillary Clinton. In more than half the counties in Kansas, Trump won in excess of 75% of the vote. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll bring you what these locals are talking about when it comes to jobs and the economy, immigration, race, making America great again. To start with, Danny's spoken to a couple of the locals about their thoughts on guns and legislation. Of course, this was before the great tragedy this week. He spoke to them just a few days before the mass shooting. And in the wake of that tragedy, he concentrated more on the guns than on President Trump. Here's Danny Wood's reportage.
Anyway, you ready?
Yeah. A shooting range near Kansas City, Missouri. By coincidence, I'm here reporting about gun issues and the Donald Trump presidency just a few days before the Las Vegas massacre. It's the first time I've stood alongside a firing weapon. I'm astonished at the power of this small revolver. It's only the size of a man's hand. But even with ear protection, the sound of the shots booms out and vibrates inside my chest. Scott Mosier is shooting the gun.
My name's Scott Mosier. I've been a firearm instructor, probably 8 years. I did police work in my background. I did 14 years as a police officer, and then I chased the money instead of the fun.
Scott agrees to talk with me here, a place called Frontier Justice. From the outside, it looks more like a cinema complex, but signage on the side of the building declares what's inside. Range, firearms, archery, cafe, and boutique, all in giant red letters. And above the entranceway, a byline under the words Frontier Justice says, Faith, Family, Freedom. So judging from the signage, this is a place where Christians can meet friends, have coffee, buy handbags, buy guns, and shoot them. Scott received his first real gun on his 16th birthday.
And that was a Ruger 10/22. I have it today. I've had that gun, 46 years, and my granddaughter actually shoots it now. She's 10.
Semi-automatic guns like this are banned in Australia. Scott says he likes semi-automatics, but revolvers are his favourite.
What is it that you like so much about guns? From an Australian perspective, I mean, some people have guns, but it's not the same as here. I'm just always amazed by how many people own guns and have guns and shoot guns. What's behind your passion?
My passion for guns has to do with self-protection, has to do with the right that I have to carry a gun. And I don't carry a gun just because I have that right. And I think it's a right of every American to protect yourself.
I suggest that would be understandable in a dangerous part of Kansas City, or if we lived in a war-torn country in the Middle East. But here, we're more likely to get hit by a bus, aren't we?
Maybe so, but you think it's never going to happen to you, but unfortunately, it does. The worst thing I ever want to do is have to shoot somebody. But basically, put your head in the sand and say, well, I've never been a victim, so I never will. That's what criminals are looking for.
I mean, it seems a little bit paranoid, or not?
I mean, no, it's not. If I'm by myself and I'm running to the store, I don't put my gun on because I think that I'm smart enough and I'm aware enough of my surroundings. But you can't always control that with the family, so that's why I carry a gun. Maybe the child runs into a dangerous situation. I'm there for him.
I asked Scott what he thinks of the tight gun laws in Australia that followed the 1996 Port Arthur massacre. There hasn't been a gun massacre since. Yet here in the U.S., gun deaths are very, very high.
More people are killed by car accidents than guns, so why not ban cars? Because people do what they do. I applaud Australia that you don't have mass shootings and you attribute that to not having guns. I attribute that to the fact that maybe Australians happen to just be good people. I don't know. Not that we don't have good people here in the United States. We obviously do.
There's the criminal side of gun violence. There's also the accidents, you know, little kids getting their parents' guns and shooting themselves, and suicides, domestic violence. All these things involve guns a lot more here because guns are more available. Isn't that an argument for better control, less high-powered weapons?
Well, you say suicides. I think you get a lot of suicides in other ways than people just shooting themselves with guns. I'll bet you get more people die from taking drugs than they do guns. So are you going to outlaw drugs that are supposedly there to help people? No, I think by restricting guns, that's not going to take away that. When it comes to kids, education is the key. They should never be left or hidden to be safe, because kids are naturally curious and they're going to find those guns. But it's not the guns' fault.
Trump was endorsed by the National Rifle Association and promised to protect Second Amendment rights. But that wasn't the reason Scott voted for him.
I voted for Trump because here is a man that's different. Here is a man that was successful in business, and even though he failed, he also fought back. To me, that's the American way.
But Scott says there is one proposed gun law that he appreciates the Trump administration for backing. The Sportsman's Heritage and Recreational Enhancement Act would make gun silencers, that are currently restricted, more readily available. Detractors say with less noise from the gunshots, it will be easier for a shooting to become a mass shooting. Scott says the bill will stop hearing loss among gun owners. But Scott is against laws that are about controlling guns. While he says education and training would help eliminate accidents and negligence, he opposes enforcing this.
It goes back to the plan of Jesus Christ and Satan. I want to return all the children to the Father, so I'll make them come back. But Jesus Christ's plan was, I'll give you free agency, and you'll come back through walking through faith, and you'll come back to me because you want to. So if the government says that this is what you got to do, where's your freedoms? I also don't think it's right that you buy a gun and don't become educated. I would hope that you would be responsible enough to do that on your own.
Before meeting Scott Mosier, I traveled north of Kansas City to visit Brian Ivelo. Brian's a 77-year-old retired airline mechanic and lifelong member of the National Rifle Association. He lives near a small town that rhymes with Colt, called Holt.
Get down, Wilson. Get down. He's got a really heavy undercoat. He's a snow dog.
Oh, okay.
Half wolf.
Brian collects guns like other people collect wine. His home is like a hunting lodge, and he takes me downstairs to a special room where he keeps about 100 guns mounted on the walls. Many are decades old. He even made some himself. There's a dehumidifier running to stop them from rusting.
Now, this PPK here is a stainless steel one. Now, James Bond guns, he uses a 32 caliber rather than a 380. My first Christmas present that I was really crazy about, my parents got me a pair of double holsters and a belt and some silver-colored Roy Rogers pistols.
And after toy guns, it was the local pastor who introduced Brian to hunting.
He was in the Korean War, and he'd give sermons, and he'd cry about during the sermon about some of the things that he saw during the Korean War. My love of hunting started with him.
After sharing this personal gun history with me, Brian uses world history to support an argument in favor of gun ownership and the Second Amendment.
Tyrants, throughout the years, have always been against their citizens owning guns. Like, the first thing Stalin did was make sure nobody had guns except communists.
He voted for Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton because he thought Clinton was going to take away his guns.
We can sit down if you like.
Yeah, I'm going to move some more stuff to do that. And so I thought they're totalitarians. And Trump was pro-gun.
And he's not concerned by new laws in neighboring Kansas that allow students to bring guns with them onto university campuses.
I went to college and always had guns on campus. My friends had guns on campus.
Really?
Nobody shot anybody.
I returned to Brian's comment about totalitarian rulers taking weapons away from citizens. I suggest that every citizen carrying a weapon in public, like they can in Missouri and Kansas, would actually look to me like a totalitarian state. Is that ironic?
The people who are carrying guns have permits to carry. They are far more honest and less violence prone than even the police are. In fact, you're probably a society protector of some kind.
Here in the Midwest, firearms are enjoyed with the same gusto many Australians have for hobbies like cricket or surfing. It's hard to see Scott Mosier and Brian Ivelo ever wanting laws to control them.